endless pursuit of cool. And oh, the chase is a waste of time. And oh, a race without a finish line. And so we offer a cold adieu to the endless pursuit of cool.
Ash and Bloom from their CD called Let the Storm Come. I was just saying to them off air, which is unfair to do that to y'all, that these guys, they're branded so well. They really are. They got a great look, a great sound, a great vibe. Whoever's doing your artwork and your, I don't know, your visual thing, your presentation, your web, your CD, I don't know. Is it just you guys, or
it's actually a bunch of people working together?
Yeah.
So we've got
like friends.
Well, kind of like friends who are professionals. So yeah. We're just hiring. And that's part of the fun part. It's working with our buddies. We end up working with Janine Stoll, who's a girl from the Dunfors. She does the digital stuff, mm-hmm. And then a girl named Alana Memmi.
Yes.
Does all of our web stuff.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great, and she works with our label, and she's just amazing.
Is Orange, is that?
Yep.
Tell us about Orange.
It's a color.
By the way, hold on. Let me introduce. Okay, we just started talking like we're buddies. Here we go. Ash and Bloom, Matt McKenna. Which one's Matt?
That's me. Matt with a hat.
Matt with a hat. See, it's all about branding recognition. James Biomental.
That's really close.
Was that?
It's good with Dutch names. Blumendahl.
Oh, I see. Sorry. I do need glasses at this particular point.
I prefer Biomental.
That's the first time I've gotten that one.
Really? Yeah, well, that's my eyesight.
You're a groundbreaker.
James Blumendahl.
That's right. It's great to be here.
Sorry about your team.
Yeah, we have a chance at four today to redeem ourselves if you like third place.
Right. Who likes third place?
I don't know.
Canadians are okay with bronze, except for in hockey.
I just get a little upset. Like, what do they get for third? I feel like you're just, it's kind of contrived.
They
to
get a gold vuvuzela. Oh, wrong country. Anyway, surrounded by music as they grew up, since their meeting almost a decade ago, they have been collaborating, performing in a Hamilton-based band called Garner. Is that about right? Garner?
Yeah, it was right.
And it's no longer right. And then they moved on to become a powerhouse duo. I like that. Ash and Bloom have crafted a sound that requires two people playing and singing together, hence the duo. A sound reminiscent of, I don't know how to pronounce this band, Simone and Garfunkel?
Garfunkel.
Okay, I like that. And Iron and Wine. I actually don't know Iron and Wine.
No?
No, tell me about them.
Sam Beam, singer-songwriter.
Does he have a brother named Jim?
I hope so, because then I just need to get to know one of them.
Yes.
But Sam is kind of came onto the indie scene when it was started to be cool to have a beard and sing folk music.
Oh. Really gentle, emotional,
right.
Weird stuff.
Right.
It's great.
Gentle, emotional, weird stuff.
I don't know if he's going to be using that quote on his website anytime soon.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. Anyway, their show also leans into synergy as their songs turn audiences into unsuspecting choirs. By the way, I love reading bios when the people are here, because then we get to break things apart a little bit and stop and pause and go, what the heck does that mean? Unsuspecting choirs. Now, I've been at maybe two of your gigs. Yeah. I think one for sure. I was in some bamboo restaurant in Guelph. I had bamboo wallpaper.
Yeah, Magnolia.
Mm-hmm. And you got people involved.
Yeah, that's the goal.
That's the whole idea, right?
Yeah. We just love when people are singing together, the harmonies that... Oh, sorry, that's my guitar.
That's okay.
It's excited to be here. we get people sort of involved in singing and try and get them singing in harmony and taking part. And for us, there's nothing cooler than when voices are joining together.
What would be a song that you would get people to be involved in? Can you just give us a little sampling of that? You don't have to do the whole thing, and I'm not going to be involved. But what would be a song that you might get people involved in? Kumbaya, my lord. That was it?
Yeah. Great job. We actually wrote it. And at our shows, the beauty is we don't even tell them what to sing. They just
Do that. You do one chord and away you go.
All right. We're a hit at
campfire. Sorry.
No, we use the chorus of the title track of our album, so it sounds like this usually.
Let the storm come. Let the storm come. Let the storm come.
and then people jump in.
So you would teach the crowd that part?
Yes.
And then we get them to sing back.
And do you do the hand thing at the end to help them?
Sometimes I do the hand thing, and sometimes I do a guitar sway.
Oh, yeah.
So it's subtle, but like you can tell there's an emotional connection
there. I like the guitar sway. That's good. What has been the and we're going to get you to do a song because we ramble a little bit too much in our show. Well, I do. What would be a moment when you've been performing where you looked at each other and almost did a Tim Conway and Harvey Korman fell apart laughing? By the way, you guys have no idea who Tim Conway, Harvey Korman are.
No.
Wow.
Sorry.
So it's a show called The Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't smile and nod to me.
I totally do. When I was a kid, I kind of had a crush on her.
On Carol Burnett?
Yeah.
Is that because she was a ginger?
Well, a little bit. I come by it honestly.
You do.
As you can tell by my beard.
Anyway, a moment where you looked at each other. Did you ever fall apart giggling?
I can think of one specific thing. And you had this guy on a couple weeks ago or a month ago or something, Justin Hines.
Oh, yeah.
We played a tour with him where we got to tour in North America. And we were his...
He's a funny dude.
Oh, man. Hilarious.
Wow.
See? Unison. So we're backing him up. We sort of did an opening set as we would and then sort of backed him up for his set. And he was talking. He's just like talks about, you know, struggles in life and really inspirational dude.
Yeah.
But he gets up and it's like one of the first shows of the tour. The whole label is there. Everyone's like the house is packed. People are like looking at this guy like he's like changed my life. And so we're waiting to start the next song. He says, you know, I maybe call me crazy, but I feel like it's not about how many times you get knocked down. It's about how many times you get knocked up.
You know, there's some truth to that.
It really struck to the core.
A la Octomom. I guess that was once, but anyway.
Once is enough for some people.
Wow. And you just...
Oh, we all lost it.
Yeah.
We all lost it.
That was well done.
Yeah, it took him a second, and then he was like... Oh,
yeah, that's well, and that reminds me of the way I'm now closing my show for the month of July with just a little proverb, a little word, a little Irish bless, I don't know, something.
Diddle-dee.
May the love of our Lord light up your life. And the people said, and also up yours. Anyway, can we do a song, please? Can you rescue me out of this silliness?
Mm-hmm.
How are we feeling? Set this up. Tell me, what are we doing here, guys?
We're going to play a song called...
Is this off your CD?
This is Manna for My Soul. We were lucky enough to have it picked up last week for CBC's Song of the Week on Here and Now.
CBC played a song with the word manna in it?
They certainly did.
And we left, and when we left, they were all Christians.
Who was Christian?
Wow. Everybody at CBC.
Wow.
It was...
How did... That's...
You know what? That's the power of
song.
Did
you leave Jack Chick tracks hanging around, little pamphlets?
Totally, totally. Just like the Romans Road, led them right there.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be a fun hour, guys. All right. Recover. Ash and Bloom. Here we go, off of their latest CD, Let the Storm Come.
One, two. Oh, whoa.
Heart's beating harder. Down the steps through the courtyard. Minds are meeting, my mind is leaving, moving to the rhythm of the stops and starts. Feel the sparking, small talk and barking, birds and bicycles and passing cars. Every tune starts with a whisper, turning the bustle into beats and bars. It's manifold soul, manifold soul, whoa. It's water from the well, a pocket full of gold. Whoa. It's manifold soul, manifold soul. Whoa. Oh, whoa. Feet are pounding, low hum resounding. Here comes the melody, a gentle arc. The city wrote it, listen and let it. Piecing it together just to pick it apart. It's manifold soul, manifold soul, whoa. It's water from the well, a pocket full of gold, whoa. It's manifold soul, whoa. Oh,
Live in the Drew Marshall Show, Ash and Bloom. Okay, let's start with the compliments.
You look great.
You look marvelous. You don't even know what that is, do you, eh? You look marvelous. No. Who said that? Billy Crystal. Huh?
I like Billy.
Boys, how old are you? No, really, how old are you?
15.
It's the chicken and the penicillin, the hormones and the whatever. Y'all are in your 30s? Okay. How did you find each other? Because you were singing with other stuff.
Yeah, we actually met in school. We met in a baritone section of a sort of a classical choir. So right from the beginning, we kind of knew we had similar interests and we had a similar kind of blendy type voice that we could use.
Blendy.
Yeah,
love it.
And then James was doing this jam band, this weekly jam band, and they did great music. And I was just sort of starting out at actually at piano. And their pianist dropped out.
Hate when that happens. It's very embarrassing.
It's awkward. You got to get a new pianist.
Yeah.
So so anyhow, their piano player ended up leaving the jam band. And I was awful at the time. But I thought, you know what? If you guys are willing to be, you know, patient, I would love to sort of jump in. And so that's how we started playing together. And then it sort of took off from there.
Does it feel like this is it? Or does this feel like it's a stepping stone to whatever's next? And when I say stepping stone, I don't mean you're stepping on each other or off, you know, using each other for the next thing or whatever, but does this feel like it's it? Because as a listener, I'm sorry, guys, it sounds like this is it for me.
This feels like the thing for us.
I mean, you have to answer that, really, as far as...
Well both of us need to answer the same way. That's the important part.
That's true. No, this isn't. Oh, yeah, actually, I think it is.
This is a stepping stone. No. We ended up working for a long time together. It's been about 10 years. But we worked together for maybe 3 years to find this thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so what were you before?
We were...
Like a punk band?
With Garner, we did...
Death metal?
And that was the band we were in before. We did, like, funk, jazz, pop, acoustic pop, folk. It was all over the place.
Right.
It was, like, a lot of, look what I can do! Which...
Can you do that again, please?
Look what I can do! So, are you going to edit that for later?
No, I just think that you might actually do quite well with this little number here. Yeah, you can't hear it because your headphones on are, but I think you can hit that high note.
If you can bring me to it, I'll try.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm having an unbelievably ADD day, so get to the point, will you?
So, because we spent so long working on this one thing, finding this thing, honing this thing together, it feels like we're finally in a place we can sort of call our musical home. Or our musical wheelhouse, if you're a batter.
Okay, right. Let me ask you about the friendship you guys have, the relationship you guys have. Have you come to a point where you've screamed at each other?
No.
Any hating?
No.
Any get out, step off, you know,
no.
Jerry Springer stuff?
We know each other really well at this point.
You seem like the dominant one, because so far, James, you've said Jack.
I'm just the loudest one, so I'll pass this one over to James.
Well, we have moments that are a little bit more tense, but we have different ways of handling it.
Right. One of you drinks?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
All right.
No, so I think if you want to be able to do something like this where you're going to have so many moments that could potentially be tense, where you're on tour, it's just like this hotbed of place where things can just keep going wrong.
Yeah.
So you've got to find a way to be able to deal with things, or you're not going to last.
Well, hold on. What was the exhale there?
Just
Matt.
Well, things go wrong.
Like what?
Like when you're playing a show in Montreal, and you feel
that's just wrong right there.
And you feel like, you know what? This show's going great. I'm like on cloud nine. Room is full. People are singing along. It's great. And it happens to be the weekend of the Grand Prix. So you're like, this is amazing.
And your G-string snaps.
No.
Oh.
No. Our G-string stayed intact the whole night, which is remarkable.
Yes. Especially with all the bending you do.
Yeah. But then you show up the next morning in Quebec City and you realize that some jerk stole your laptop.
No.
When you were playing on stage, someone went into the green room and stole your laptop. Like went into your bag knowing you were on stage and you couldn't get to it. Stole the laptop.
Dude, that's horrible.
That's pretty low. And like, it feels
why wasn't
pretty
the
low.
Green room locked?
Well, those are the things you ask when you're in Quebec City.
And they looked at you and went, no, speaker de anglais.
Right? That's whenever exactly they how they talk in Quebec. You nailed that accent.
Fromage head.
Did you live there?
I did. Wow. Yeah. Hey, let's do another song, please, because we have more to share and chat
Boogie
about.
Boogie Fever, or?
Yes, Boogie Fever, please. What are we doing, boys? Tell us all about it.
We're going to play the title track off the album called Let the Storm Come.
Off your album called?
Let the Storm Come.
Got it.
Yeah. 2, 3, 4. Hello, rain. I don't know why you took me by surprise. In line, you're taking back the sky. Hello, rain. You pour the cold into my bones again. It's not a good time. You're so impolite. You're showing up uninvited. I'm not gonna run. I'm not gonna hide. I'm not gonna fight to stay dry. I'm gonna stand out in the rain. Let the storm come. Let the storm come. Let the storm come. I'll be waiting. Be waiting. I know rain. It falls, it fills, it floods and takes away. I know rain. I've seen it steal too many sunny days. I know rain, it comes down strong but always fades away. I've been here before, I know what to do. I've got an anchor worth holding on to. I'm not gonna run, I'm not gonna hide. I'm not gonna fight to stay dry. Gonna stand out in the rain. Let the storm come. 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 Let the storm come home. I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting. Storm come and let the storm come and let the storm come home. Let the storm come, let the storm come, let the storm.
So it bothers me that I'm becoming a fan.
Sorry.
Here's my thing. I don't get into stuff right away. It takes me a little while. I'm a little slow, right? I was a special education student, Drove a short bus as well.
Drove?
Yeah.
That's advanced for a special education student.
I did.
And they promote you to
bus driver. That's a big promotion in my world. But, you know, for example, polo stuff, you know, I didn't start wearing that till maybe a few years ago, you know, and right. that was hip back in the 80s. I wait till things are not hip, and then I get into them. You guys are hip, and I'm India. What's wrong with me?
Sorry, we have that effect.
No. You know, everybody wants to know where the ash and bloom came from. Is there a cool story? There better be a succinct story, because you're going to get asked that in every interview.
We
have been.
Yeah.
Bloom comes from Bloomendal. Ash comes from a combination of letters in Matt's name because Matt and Bloom didn't work. And when we went for Matt and James, the website went to a wonderful couple's wedding site. So we decided to look for something else.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't want to send that message.
Right.
In terms of branding.
Right. I got it. Okay.
Well, and the photos were all wrong.
Yeah, they were just wrong.
Yeah.
Sepia. It doesn't work. Okay, Ash and Bloom. Can I suggest, you got to come up with a better story. Please. Please come up. Just lie.
The other side of the story is that James and I are actually quite different. Like, we blend a lot, mm-hmm. and we try to sound similar in a lot of ways, but we're very different.
Personality-wise, you mean?
Personality-wise.
Explain that.
I'm the, I'm Mr. Feels in an emotional way. I come from a very sort of emotionally driven place. I dream and I'm try to be really creative all the time, and I see things in weird ways that sort of surprise people, and I'm just thinking that way. James is like mastermind chess player. I don't think he plays chess, but he at this point I should know if you play chess. But he is very calculated.
Right.
He has the big picture.
Right.
He's very he's a great analytical mind.
Right.
So. When we sort of picked Ash and Bloom, we liked the contrast.
Right.
Because of the contrast we have.
So you're together. The kite, you're the string.
Boom.
Did I get that?
Yeah, we'll change the band
name.
No,
you nailed it.
Okay. Kite and string.
Kite and string.
I like that. Guys, talk to me before you name yourselves. Hey? Seriously.
Okay, next project, we'll call
consult.
You.
There you go. I want to actually continue with your bio here, because there's got to be something we can make fun of. Ash and Bloom have spent years perfecting their songs, and they are finally releasing them a bit at a time.
A bit at a time.
It says that.
I know, I'm just trying to help you make fun.
Oh. I didn't even... You are that sharp. Dude, normally people aren't that sharp. You are that sharp. I totally missed that. Okay, moving along for the world to enjoy. Their debut, or debut EP, released November 5th, 2013, features heavy-hitting ballad... Let the Storm Come. That sounds like a good song. Is that a good song?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll play it for you later.
Thank you. A fan favorite, which, well, by the way, at the start of that song, where are the words? I didn't know what, do you get a lot of feedback from that? Because people don't know what you're saying. You know the least understood lyricist out there is Elton John. His lyrics and his English thing and his, with the way
only
he.
Only closer, Tony Danza.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Yeah, she's got electric boobs, a mohair suit,
Yeah.
Hello, Rain, or I Know Rain. I thought you were singing Tenore or something
Tenore.
Like that.
Tenore.
It's Greek.
When we sing with the Canadian tenors, we'll do it that way.
Thank you. Anyway, very good sound. Is it symmetry? Is that what it is? I mean, if I was to look at your vocal tracks as a wave... I would not be able to separate them. That'd be very, very hard. Seem very clean and very tight.
Yeah. When we are on our own singing, we have a little bit of a different, more characteristic voice.
Right.
When we're just doing...
So are you intentionally trying to lean into each other?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, for us, when we were crafting the sound, it was like, how do we meet in the middle? How do we sort of do this thing where we sound like one voice?
Interesting. That's a good call, because I can think of other groups who have been on this show, and so I shall not name them. And when they're doing harmonies, it's beautiful. And then when they sing together, that same melodic deal, there's something missing. Somebody's just a little, you know what I mean? And that synchronicity thing that happens with you guys is weird.
Good. That's what we're going for.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, and the 10 years helps, certainly, being at this for a while, knowing each other as well as we do.
Ash and Bloom, have you ever used a looping machine?
Yes.
Does it work or not work for you guys? Because it's either hit or miss with what you guys are doing.
We do the looping thing, and we practice it a whole lot before we put it on stage.
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
But I don't think there's many times we've had issues with the pedal or with the loop.
No.
We do a little bit with electric guitar looping and then a little bit with voice looping.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's been a great experience so far.
The key is I have to be able to hear what James sets with the loop, because once the loop is set, if you get off the loop, game over.
Yeah, not good.
So it's a bit of a high stakes thing, but as long as I can hear the loop, we can stay together.
Then we're groovy.
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, let's do another song, boys. What are we doing?
The song is called Heaven is a Ghost Town.
Oh, this is, when I heard you guys saying, I actually, at the end of the concert, that bamboo joint, I went up to you and said that was the one that got me. Loved
cool.
it. I mean, lyrically, it's totally where my head is at in so
yep.
many ways. So enjoy this, folks. I think you will. Ash and Bloom, live on the Drew Marshall Show.
Thought that every road would share one end. You know, whatever road you choose, no matter what you think is true, we all end up dead. Grown up 20 years ago, they told me I would go. Grandma forever singing happy hymns. The alternative was grim, I understood. Am I gonna make it? I don't know. We'll see those gates when we find out. If we stay up or get sent down. If angels are recording every sin, will anybody ever make it in? If it's only saints allowed. Heaven is a ghost town. Heaven is a ghost town. Heaven is a ghost town. Fundamentalist before, and I was positively sure who's in, who's not. But I saw we all have secrets that we hide, but we all notice what it's like to squirm when we're caught. So are you gonna make it? I don't know. See those gates when we find out. If we stay up or get sent down. If angels are recording every sin, will anybody ever make it in? If it's only saints allowed. Heaven is a ghost town. Heaven is a ghost town. Heaven is a ghost town.
So now, at this point, all you folks at home, we need you to sing along. You're going to be our choir of heavenly angels. So you need to imagine the pearly gates opening wide, and as you walk in, people are weeping with joy, and they're all singing like this.
Oh,
I love that song. Absolutely love that song. I'm not just blowing wind here. I'm considering putting that into my funeral list of songs. Seriously, that is such a great tune, guys. Thank you for that. Okay, well, that begs a few questions, though, during that song. I mean, used to be a fundamentalist. I remember when I was living in Australia, I wrote James Taylor this really long letter, and I was analyzing. Like, I'm a lyric analyst. I mean, I pore over lyrics. I have my whole life. I just remember being a young kid finding my sister's albums, you know, America, Chicago, Boz Scaggs, and just poring over lyrics. Yep. And then I get into Larry Norman, and, you know, that'll spin your head if you know who that is.
I wish we'd
all. Oh, nice. There we go. Nice. So are these lyrics legit in this song? Do they represent a personal thing, or is it just a songwriting hook?
They definitely represent a personal thing. And to be honest, when we were working on this, and the word fundamentalist got slid in there, we were like, you know what, maybe it's getting a little too personal. Like, you know, we can sing about heaven, but maybe it's getting a little bit too honest about where we come from. But
why? That opens so many doors when you say, I used to be a fundamentalist.
Oh, yeah.
It closes a few doors when you say, I am a fundamentalist.
We've watched some of those doors slam shut as we've been playing.
Really?
Looking out into certain audiences, and we're like, I'm going to sing this lyric, and I know that...
You can gauge reaction when you throw out the word fundamentalist?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, also, well, especially when you get to the hook and say, heaven is a ghost town.
Yeah.
You look around, and in a lot of, like, Canadian audiences... people will kind of chuckle or laugh out loud at that point.
Yeah.
But in the Midwest of the U.S.,
not
the same reaction.
ladies and gentlemen, now singing at Liberty University. One song only. So, I mean, what's your God background? Do you have, like, did you grow up in Jesus homes or churchy homes or what?
Yeah, I grew up in kind of like a Dutch church, the Christian.
Oh, you guys are cool because you can smoke and swear and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Total sinners at my church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys are.
We wouldn't have gotten along then. We wouldn't have been allowed to play.
Matt, what did you grow up in?
We did a lot of church hopping, but it was more the charismatic.
You grew up in the Happy Clappies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were falling over and laughing and.
Did you get into this? In the holy, Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. Because that's where the Holy Spirit was, apparently, for a few years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
God couldn't find him. But he was there.
That's amazing. But that's the kind of churches I grew up in.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I said this to you, I don't know if you remember, but your facial expressions and just the way you look, and there's a few things about you remind me of a guy named Bruxy Cavey.
Yeah.
You guys could be brothers, man. You know, if you put on 150 pounds.
In the Lord.
Oh, Bruxy.
Oh, no.
You know I love you. In the Lord, yeah. So are you different than what you grew up in? Because let's just go with you, James. James, you know, the Christian Reform, or which one? Dutch Reform or Christian Reform?
Christian Reform.
Good on you for knowing the diff.
Think about the show I do. There, you know, in that every tribe has baggage.
Right.
Every tribe has a little, you know, outsiders can look at it and go, what is wrong with you guys? Are you still part of the tribe?
I don't think so. I don't attend a Christian Reformed Church anymore. When I was there, we were called by other denominations the Sleeping Giant.
Right.
They felt like there was this great foundation there that maybe one day we would use for something.
Yep. Yep.
And to be fair, like, I go back to my parents' church and I see the stuff that they're doing now. They're realizing that that's been a big hole. You can't just talk about things forever. You need to do something. And they've been very involved in that. And of course, a bunch of members have. But myself, now I'm a little bit more involved with the Meeting House.
You are?
I am.
Oh. No, that's not a bad
thing.
Yeah. That's the only church I actually, you know, don't want to vomit in.
Except
when they bring out the dry ice and stuff. Have you seen that number?
I haven't seen that.
I'm not cool with it. They may have gotten rid of it. I remember years ago they had dry ice going during worship, and that just made me hurl.
Oh, yeah, right.
Anyway, sorry, yes?
No, that's fair. I think something I like about them is they've got these groups that meet every week.
Yeah.
And you spend a lot more time getting to know people.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of what I want to do.
All right.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah. Are
you still part of the Happy Clappies?
No, but you know, there's a part of the Happy Clappies that I carry around.
Sure.
As you can see from my happy clappiness.
Yeah.
But I think I sort of went through a bunch of different denominations as I was growing up. I worked at different camps and was that guy, and then went to a Christian school for a while, and there was the sort of the Dutch influence there. So I ended up bouncing between all of these different denominations and seeing what I thought were strengths in all of them, and seeing also, you know, what I thought were drawbacks or weaknesses. So I don't think I've ever really affiliated myself with a specific denomination.
But aren't you just being a byproduct of your culture? Because your age group, you know, pretty much anybody under 40 does not want to have the labels. They don't want anybody else putting labels on them, that's for sure.
Yep.
And so if you go to this church, you have that label. If you go to this church, you have that label. If you just kind of casually go to this, that, or the other, maybe I go, maybe I don't go, we can't put a label on you.
That's true. That's true. I think it's not, for me, finding a place where I can worship has been less about denomination and more about where I feel comfortable, where I feel like I can serve. And also, I'm married. So where does my wife feel?
Right. Where does she feel comfortable?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she'd rather be ministered to by Pastor Pillow in the Quilted Choir.
Yeah, brother Blanket.
Yeah,
he really speaks to me. He just enfolds me.
Oh, this is. I'm just speaking of hurling. Let me just ask this before we get into one more song from you guys. Has your label said go low key in the God stuff?
To be honest, the label in the beginning was asking us, "Where do you guys want to go?" Because they saw, like, if you guys go really lean heavily into the God thing, there's a market for that.
Right.
There's a thing we can do with that.
Right.
But for James and I, we've never felt like that's the thing we want to do.
Yeah.
We want to play to everybody.
Yeah.
Or not everybody, but the people who resonate with our music. We don't just want to sort of stick in one little market.
And the label hasn't been afraid. The first video that they chose was an animated version
Love
of
that.
Heaven is a Ghost
Yeah,
Town.
I posted that twice on my Facebook
cool.
page.
So, yeah, thanks.
That kind of tells you where they're at.
Yeah.
I think other people would have stayed away from that.
Maybe they should represent me. Except I don't sing. I'm very proud of you guys. I'm proud of you for being authentic in what you're putting out there. You know, it does bother me a little bit when people are too much, they're too overt about their God stuff. And by overt, I mean denominationally challenged.
Right.
You know, they bring their baggage with them in their overtness. I don't know. I'm not saying, you know, we should be secret, but if people are trying to figure out whether there's a God or not, and maybe trying to surrender, trying to follow what, you know, stuff Jesus said, that should permeate everything, including the lyrics, but there's a smart way to go about that.
Yep.
And I think guys like Bruce Cockburn has nailed that stuff perfectly.
And you never feel when you're listening to Bruce Cockburn that he's hiding something,
no.
He's trying to like slant something to make you to.
He's
to
not
dodge
hiding.
Anything.
He's not hiding, and he's not shoving.
Yeah.
Very proud of you guys, and
Thank you.
I am a fan, and I love the sound. The fact that one of you has a Larrivé and the other one has a Taylor. It's a perfect mix right there for me. So good job. All right. Well, let's do another wee tune, shall we? And then we'll go out. We'll let our listeners hear one more track from your CD, if you don't mind
Yeah, love that. Sure.
What track are we going to do, by the way, when we go out? Let's just get that figured out.
Let me see the back here.
They don't know their own dadgum CD, folks. Let me just keep going with the bio here. Hold on a second. Let me keep going with the bio, because there's gold in here. And them there hills. The duo is hot off the heels of the Vehicle of Change tour with headliner Justin Hines, who said, what did he say again? What was that funny
It's comment? Not about how many times you get knocked down.
It's how many times you get knocked up.
He's going to love that we told you that, too.
I had the best time with him in here.
He's a riot.
So good, you know. I think he appreciated that I went right for the...
The jugular?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. The North American tour featured over 80 stops, traveling over 20,000 kilometers. 100% of ticket sales from each show went back to local charities. Man, you guys are spiritual. And the band successfully helped raise funds and awareness in each place they visited. Ash and Bloom released their debut full-length album called Let the Storm Come on June 24th, 2014. It features songs co-written by some of Canada's greats, Peter Katz, Carolyn Brooks, Julie, whatever the heck. Yeah, that's her name. What is it again?
Crushetier.
And Rob Szabo. The duo will be on tour throughout North America and Australia from... Oh, when are you going to Australia?
The plan right now is October.
Nice.
Yeah.
I might have some connections down there for you.
That'd be amazing.
Talk to me. Well, I lived there for 5 years, so...
Nice.
That'd be great.
I really wish you the best. I really do. Is there a gig or something else other than going to your website and buying your CD or iTunes and downloading and all that stuff? What else can people do to support you? Go to a gig. Is there something coming up?
We have a lot of gigs coming up.
Yeah, it's all on the website.
Yeah, if they go to our website, they'll probably see 40 gigs listed on the next
really?
Tour.
Yeah, and that's www.ashandbloom.com.
ashandbloom.com. What's this song we're going to do, boys?
This song is called York Hero. It's a bit of a sadder song. It's a song we wrote sort of from a place of regret, but not like the kind of regret you sort of get over, the kind of regret that becomes a part of you, that becomes sort of a weight you just learn to live with.
Brilliant. Again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, my new buddies, Ash and Bloom.
Like that were hard to see, 'cause I was busy looking after me instead. And those little words that I never said carved out a canyon of deep regret. I am sorry that I blew the chance I had. I wasn't who you needed. I wasn't who you needed me to be. I am happy that you found a hero. I'm just sorry that your hero, I'm sorry that your hero wasn't me. Showed it, you wouldn't know I cared. So how was I surprised by what I should have known? By leaving you alone and scared, I made you search for love you should have found at home. And you've always been the forgiving kind, but I'll always know that the blame is mine. I am sorry that I blew the chance I had. I wasn't who you needed. I wasn't who you needed me to be. I am happy that you found a hero. I'm just sorry that your hero, I'm sorry that your hero wasn't me. I had, I wasn't who you needed. I wasn't who you needed me to be. I am happy that you found a hero. I'm just sorry that your hero, I'm sorry that your hero wasn't me. I'm sorry that your hero wasn't me.
Beautiful stuff, man. Absolutely beautiful. Ash and Bloom on the Drew Marshall Show, otherwise known as Matt McKenna and James Biomental.
We're going to add that to our bio.
Blumendahl. Did I say it right? Blumendahl?
That's right.
Dahl or Dale? Dahl. No, it's Dahl, yeah, because there's no E. Guys, thank you very, very much. This is your second time here.
Yeah.
You were here originally with
Amber
and Preetam, right? That was a crazy day.
Yeah.
Too many people on the dance floor. But thank you. Yeah, just I wish you all the best. I really do. Folks, this is Ash and Bloom. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
They'll still be right beside you when everything is wrong. It's only special if you stay. Even when you find those things you'll never change. When the spark is lost, when you feel the cost, it's only special. It's only special if you find somebody worth the pain. Give them all you can. After years of yes and yes again, you'll find that you're a better man. It's only special if you stay. Even when
it's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.